Matthew chapter 16, tonight I want to start a series of messages, of course it's been announced, on a very important topic. And that topic is what I call the biblical basics believed by Baptist. Now that should tell you that I'm a Baptist with a big B. And I say it for a number of reasons. I'm a Baptist with a big B. First reason is I've studied it out and I know why I'm a Baptist. Another reason is because I was raised with so little teaching about it. I was raised a Southern Baptist. I've been involved in many Baptist churches in my lifetime. But in all the Baptist churches I've been in, not one single Baptist church did I ever hear one message, much less a series, on why we were a Baptist church. And the only church I've ever heard a message preached or a series preached about why be a Baptist was churches I've pastored. And one thing for sure, I want you as a congregation to know why the name of this church is Maranatha Baptist Church. Amen. And I want you to know why you are a Baptist. But I think the lack of teaching on why a church is a Baptist church is really explainable when we... Just this week, I read about a 2 or 3 page article in the Shelby Star newspaper about the Southern Baptist Convention in Cleveland County starting new churches. But guess what the name of the church was? Christ Covenant Church. Now, can you explain to me why a Baptist association would start a new church and not put Baptist on it? The reason being, I'm afraid that the leaders within the Southern Baptist Convention in Cleveland County don't even know why they're a Baptist. Or they wouldn't be starting a church that didn't have Baptist in it. But without being taught what one believes, and without being taught why one believes, that individual, and I think the church that that individual is in, is doomed to die and or change. Change by becoming a watered-down, homogenized, generic brand of Christianity. And that is what is becoming true of not just Baptist churches, but other churches that are out there. Because other churches are not teaching why they are whatever they are. But I do not want Maranatha Baptist Church to become a distinctive-less church. I want us to know our distinctives. And I don't want those distinctives to be lost. I think every generation of believers must know why they believe what they believe. If every generation of believers do not know what they believe and why they believe it, all they're going to do is step on board a religious ship that's adrift with the winds and currents of modernism and compromise. That's all that the result's going to be. Let's read, please, here. Matthew chapter 16, and then we'll ask some questions. Chapter 16, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Tremendous, tremendous statement, right? And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God is the rock upon which the church is built.
Right.
And the gates of hell has never prevailed against it and will not. And I will say this, the Church of Jesus Christ is a good bit different than many churches that are recognized by man. What makes a Baptist church? The name? No, because I know many Baptist churches that's got Baptist on the name that are not Baptist in practice whatsoever. Why a Baptist? Why are you a Baptist? You say, well, Pastor Camp, it's My parents were Baptists. Not good enough.
Right.
You say, well, I was raised as a Baptist. Not good enough. Well, Pastor Kemp, it's the nearest church to my house. Not good enough. Well, it has the best business contacts in town. Not good enough. Well, it has the best music in town. It plays the kind of music like I like to listen to. Not good enough. They have one of the most likable pastors I ever met. Not good enough.
That's right.
Well, the people are just so friendly. I mean, they're a lot like me. Not good enough. And I could go on with more and more and more reasons why people are Baptists, and none of them are good enough. You should be a Baptist because you believe what a Baptist believes. And if you've never been taught what a Baptist believes, you can't readily say, and you can't say it with any assurance or confidence, that you are one. So why a Baptist? Why an independent Baptist? Like I said, I was raised a Southern Baptist. Why am I now an independent Baptist pastor? Well, I'll answer some of that sooner or later. What are Baptist distinctives? How are we, Maranatha, different from other churches? Is our differences good or bad? Now, I hope some of these questions have kicked some thinking, maybe created some interest, desire to know the answers. And I hope before we're finished preaching this series, and I really don't know how long it's going to take on both of our parts. I'm going to be preaching the Baptist distinctive parts. He's going to be preaching the Baptist history aspect, even though I may throw in some things along the way about Baptist history as well. From my standpoint, it's easily going to be 15 weeks of messages on the Baptist distinctives. Can't be done in one. Matter of fact, tonight's all I'm going to do is introduce it. But I believe with an old Southern Baptist scholar of years gone by called A.T. Robson made this statement. I want you to listen to it. Give a man an open Bible, an open mind, and a conscience in good working order, and he will have a hard time to keep from being a Baptist.
That's right. Amen.
I want to say that again. Give a man an open Bible and an open mind and a conscience in good working order, and he will have a hard time to keep from being a Baptist. And that I say, amen. I believe with the Baptist of old that from the time Christ instituted his church, that different groups of people down through the years have believed like Baptists have believed ever since. Now, when I say that, some group in some different places have believed either some or all that Baptists have come to believe. Ever since the church started, some group has believed that. Now, we as a Baptist cannot trace our lineage back, if you will, to any one man. Contrary to what some Baptists say, that we can trace it back to John the Baptist, not so. He proclaimed the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he proclaimed, I must decrease and he, Christ, must increase. But not one time did he say, be a Baptist. And we can't find our lineage through him. Because the name Baptist came as a name of ridicule, not as a name of blessing. And that's how the name stuck. It stuck because so many people were making fun of those that believe like we believe. People that believe like we believe were originally called Anabaptist, which Anna is, that stuck on the front of Baptist is simply a Greek preposition, which means again. And we were called that because, as Baptists would not accept infant baptism. They would not accept sprinkling or pouring of a person. They would not accept a person into church membership that had not been baptized after they had been saved. And because of that, Baptists have been persecuted down through the years, burned at the stake, stretched on the rack, and anything else that you can think of when it comes to being persecuted by other religions. And I'll have, and I know Brother Dietrich will have much to say about that as we go along. But because the people that believe like we believe today said, all right, this baby, this because it was, quote, baptized as a baby or sprinkled, it's not good enough for church membership. Yes, you say that you are baptized, but you can't be a member of this church unless you've been saved by the grace of God and been baptized. And Baptists down through the years have believed that. Mm-hmm. And for that, they've been burned at the stake. Listen, more Baptists have been persecuted over this one issue than anything else that you can think of. Mm-hmm. And there's many historical documentations of them being burned at the stake for that. And like I said, we'll have more to say about that again. Baptists are not Protestants.
Amen.
We have never been a part of the Catholic Church, as were the founders of the denominations that were called Protestants. The Lutheran, started by Martin Luther. He was a Catholic priest. The Episcopalian Church is nothing other than the Catholic Church with a different robe on. That's all it is. It was the Catholic Church of England that changed from being a part of the Catholic Church because the Catholic wouldn't let Henry VIII marry, so he just left the church and formed the Anglican Church, and they do the same thing that the Catholics do. Presbyterians, of course, were started by John Calvin that left the Catholic Church. And then you have others like the Methodist Church. But different denominations can point back to their founders. You know, the Mormons can point to Joseph Smith, and I really don't like to put the Mormons in the same category as other denominational churches because the Mormons are a cult, but the rest of the world recognizes them as a Christian now. Just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, they're a cult, but the rest of the world recognizes them as Christians now, and they can point their beginnings back to Charles Taz Russell. Christian Science, there's nothing Christian and nothing scientific, but the world thinks it's Christian. And they can point back to Mary Baker Eddy, ever how many other husbands she had. And the Seventh-day Adventist, of course, can go back to the Millerites, Disciples of Christ, the Campbellites. And, you know, they have different men that they can point to. And this is where we began. This is where we began. But the Baptist people, we can't point to one man and say that's where we started. Why? Because it's that biblical in its origin. We be biblical teachings down through the year. And again, ever since the church started, some group somewhere have believed what we believe tonight, either in part or in whole. Sort of interesting. I want you to listen to this quotation from a Roman Catholic cardinal historian named Hosius. A historian in 1524 made this statement, and I quote, "Were it not that the Baptists have been grievously tormented and cut off with the knife during the past 1,200 years, they would swarm in greater numbers today than all the Reformers." That's a tremendous statement. What he is saying, now he said this in the 1500s, he said for the last 1,200 years they have been grievously tormented and cut off with the knife, and if it hadn't been so, they would have greater numbers than all the Reformers. This Roman Catholic cardinal, historian for the Catholic Church, was saying that the Baptists had been in existence ever since the church began, basically. Or except it, he was making a statement they had been around ever since the, quote, organized church by Constantine developed. And that's when the Catholic Church started, when the Emperor Constantine, you know, merged, quote, the church with government. So he is saying here that the Baptists had been around and they had been doing their work. Because he said they had definitely been increasing. And if they hadn't have been persecuted and killed, there would have been a whole lot of them. And of course, who did the persecuting? The Roman Catholic Church did. Many, many documentations of that. So, what is he saying? The Baptists are not reformers. They were not protesters. They had believed what they had believed the whole time. And when it came in conflict with the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church tried to cut it off. Baptists have been persecuted by all state churches. I can show you many records where John Calvin burned at the stake, Baptist. You can go to Germany and the Lutheran Church burnt Baptist. Why? Because it differed with what they believed. But you'll find a hard time finding where Baptists have persecuted others. And I can produce, and I know Brother Dietrich will do this before he's finished on Baptist history, he will produce and show that if it had not been for the Baptists in this country, you wouldn't have freedom to sit here tonight. Amen. It was the Baptist, John Leland and Adams were in a political contest. Leland had enough votes to win the election, but he realized that Adams was a better spokesman and politician, and they had a meeting, and Leland agreed to back out of the election, that when Adam won it, that he would present religious freedom documentation. And there where you have your Bill of Rights, religious freedom in this country, because John Leland, a Baptist preacher, convinced the man that he would let him win if he'd have that put in the Constitution, our Bill of Rights. Baptists believe in religious freedom. Baptist people will die for your right to believe what you want to believe. And they have done it down through the years. But why study the beliefs of Baptists? Why should we even take the time? You say, and the reason why I'm going to take the time is because the majority of what we're going to study is so going to be so Bible ingrained, it would be no different and will be no different than any other message I'm going to preach. And you'll see that before we're finished. I want us to study this because by studying it, we'll see that we are biblical. Yes, sir. We'll see that we can practice what we preach. We want to study it so we can be strengthened in our beliefs. We want to study it so we will know what we will believe. We want to study it so we can teach others what they need to believe. And so we can know if we want to stay a Baptist. See, if you don't want to be a Baptist, I don't want you a member of this church. You know, one of the things that you have to do before you can be a member of this church, you have to read our Constitution and agree with it. We don't want any troublemaker coming in here believing something different than what we believe. That's the reason why you read the Constitution, you agree with the Constitution, then you can join and you'll have full voting rights and membership privileges as everybody else has. But if you don't believe like we believe, we don't want you in here causing trouble. You know, that's normal. That should be common sense. We want to study it for that reason. A Baptist is not Calvinistic. A Baptist is not Arminian. Now, in the Baptist circles, there's a group over here called the Particular Baptists. They are Calvinistic. Another group are called General Baptists, and they're Arminian. A true Baptist is neither. If you want to be Calvinist, just leave and join a Presbyterian church. You know? If you want to be Arminian, go join a Methodist church. Or somebody that believes you can lose your salvation. Baptists are neither. And may I say that an independent Baptist is not an off-brand idea. When I pastored in Rutherford County at Tri-City Baptist Church, the director of the Southern Baptist Association in Rutherford County was going around telling people in Rutherford County, because what we made up flyers and brochures and we knocked on every door in Rutherford County, basically. And word started getting back to them what was going on. And he started going around telling everybody in the county, the other pastors, that an independent Baptist church was a cult. An independent Baptist church is not a cult. Independent Baptist church is not an off-brand idea, because all Baptist churches used to be independent. Right. An association was not an original idea for Baptists. And by the way, associations have turned out to be an arena for compromise and to draw the churches away from biblical authority. So being an independent is not an off-brand idea. All true Baptist churches are independent of outside control. In this county, there's over 100 Southern Baptist churches. I do not know, I didn't take time to count how many free will Baptist churches. I don't know how many other brands of Baptist churches. There's about 10 to 12 independent Baptist churches that I know of. However, those are all different brands and stripes and beliefs. I mean, many, just because it says independent doesn't mean a thing, friend. You better find out what they believe. You better see if they believe this book or not. But many, many churches today that are called Baptists, again, need to take a can of paint and go outside and paint over their sign and change their name.
That's right.
Because they're not Baptist. They do not stand anywhere close to the historical Baptist position. And I want this church to stand in the historical Baptist position, believing and loving this book. And that's the key. I will follow as I study this topic, of course, the Baptist name as an acrostic. And I will follow that down as I study. My first message week after next, after he preaches his first message on Baptist history, my first message on the Baptist distinctives will be about biblical authority. How the Bible is our final rule of faith and practice. I mean, it's not human reasoning. It's what the Bible says that counts. If it's human reasoning, your opinion is as good as my opinion. And our opinion is as good as anybody else's opinion. And their opinion is as good as our opinion. And that just leads to a big mess. But when you let God be the authority, that settles everything real quick, doesn't it? And so we'll be preaching about the biblical authority. Then we'll go to the A, of course, and we'll talk about the autonomy of the local church. How the local church should be self-governing. And then we'll go to the P and we'll talk about the priesthood of the believer. And when we look at the priesthood of the believer, we will very strongly point out that doesn't mean that you can be a maverick in what you believe. And then we'll go to the T and we'll look at the two ordinances. And that is, of course, baptism and the Lord's table. We'll look at the I and talk about, I do it a little different. Historical Baptist position there on that I is what they call individual soul liberty. I put a little different twist on it. Individual soul responsibility. And then we'll look at the S that stands for a saved and baptized church membership. And then we'll look at the second T, which is two offices. By the way, it's the pastor and deacon. There's a young evangelist running around our country that's trying to start a new Baptist distinctive. He's trying to start that the evangelist is an office of the local church. I differ with that young man. That young man will never preach for me as long as he holds that position that there's a third office in the Baptist church. I don't think that many Baptist churches around this country that are historically sound will accept what he's trying to say. Then we'll look at the last S, which stands for a whole lot of things by the time I get through preaching. But historically, it stands for separation of church and state, is what they say. And I think it not only stands for separation of church and state, but the historical position of the Baptist is separation from the world. Separation from ecclesiastical era as well. And it will be here that I'll preach something else that's historically been true in Baptist churches. However, it's not been preached as a part of the distinctives, but I'm going to include it under this S, and that's stewardship. The local church is not only self-governed, it is self-propagating. It is God's people that's members of the local churches that finance that local church, that supports missionaries all across the world, and makes sure the gospel can be put out in the community in which it is. This church, as long as I'm here, will never have a bake sale to support anything. Amen. We're not going to have a car wash. Now, we're just not going to do some things like that. Why? It's unbiblical. God's people, by faith, should honor God in their giving with tithes and offering and the thing to make the things that this church needs go. And if God's people can't finance it, apparently God didn't want us to do it. You know? But that's the Baptist. You know, we have a lot of preaching ahead of us. Believe you me. And there's a whole lot of biblical content that we're going to get. And like I said, every single message will be just like any other message I've preached. It's going to be full of Bible. And when we're through, you're going to know what the Bible says about what we've preached. And hopefully you can go out of here and explain to somebody, hey, you know, we're a Baptist church. And I believe the Baptist teaching because the Bible supports it. Listen, if I didn't believe that Baptist church, this Baptist church, or Baptist church that holds to the historical position of Baptist was the closest thing to the Bible, tonight would be the last night that I'd be a Baptist. I would resign and I'd go to the church that I thought was closer to what the Bible says. I'm not here for the praise of men. I'm not here to have influence in the political leaders' lives in this community just because that's the political thing to do. I'm here because I want to honor God through this book. And that's the reason why I'm a Baptist tonight. Amen. I'm looking forward to the study. I'm looking forward to hearing Brother Dietrich preach on the Baptist history. That's an exciting part. Listen, the books that Brother Cummins, that's been here on a number of occasions, preached for us, has helped write with Brother Thompson on This Day in Baptist History. If you've not got any of those books, you need to get some of those books. Just a one-page devotional on Baptist history. It's exciting to see what God has done down through the years. And I hope that you'll get excited through this study about being a Baptist. You see, I equate being a Baptist with being a Christian. I'm like the old country preacher years ago when asked, well, what would you be if you weren't a Baptist? And he said, ashamed.